The glory of God is the human person fully alive. This was a quotation that was quite popular among those who were to be ordained at the time when I was in the seminary. And it's a very popular one, and it comes from Saint Irenaeus, who was a second century bishop of Lyon in France. He was a theologian, and that phrase is a good focus of today's scripture readings. The glory of God is the human person fully alive. Jesus in John's gospel, which we just heard, is quoted today using glory or glorified 5 times in just 2 sentences. This is at the Last Supper. And after washing the disciples' feet and knowing Judas's intent to betray him, it's hardly an uplifting moment, one would think. And so we've heard this, and I'll say it again. Now is the Son of Man glorified, God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself. And God will glorify him at once. So, what is this glory? Sometimes we overuse a word so much that it sort of loses its meaning. And so, the handy dictionary brings forth things like, glory means praise and honor, distinction, a height of achievement. To glorify means to bestow honor, praise, and admiration. To cause to be seen to be better than the actual condition. So, at this moment, is Jesus fully alive? Is this Jesus' hour? Remember at the wedding feast of Cana, when he was prompted to make that water into wine, that miracle. He says to his mother, "This is not my hour." What is Jesus' hour? Jesus' finest hour, of course, is when he gives himself over in washing of the feet as an example, and ultimately his own life on the cross. "This is why I have come," he would say to his disciples, "to give glory to my Father in heaven. And so you will give glory when you love one another as I have loved you. In a sense, you will be known as my disciples." In that famous line from A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens, the character Sidney Carton, who is at a time asked to exchange his life for that of another, says this famous line. You've all heard it and probably have quoted it over yourself. "It is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done. That is, to give my life for another." We often refer to Father Maximilian Kolb, who in the concentration camp of the Nazi regime gave himself over to spare the life of a father and for the sake of that father's family. In the book of Revelation, John's vision is one of a new heaven and a new earth. And then he says it is God's dwelling among the human race. The angel said to the disciples, as they peer into the empty tomb and to the women who come there first, "Do not look here. He has gone on. Do not look here. Do not look at the sky," as we will hear in the reading from the Ascension. "He is not in the sky. He is among you. He is with God's people." So the vision of John in the Revelation is all things new. So politicians are doing this all the time. We all have visions of things new and ideal. No more tears, mourning, wailing, or pain. Relief from anxiety. Healthcare worries, gone. Tuition debt, gone. A time of peace and justice. The dream that God wishes to fulfill in us. Jesus says to us, "You are capable of expressing divine love." He says it, "As I have loved you, so you must do, and you will do." Such love is witnessed in the person of a person who died this month. John Vanier, at the age of 90, died on May 7th. Some of you may remember John Vanier as the founder of large communities of intellectually disabled persons who are living with those who care with them. He has become sort of an ambassador and a father figure to the whole world by his passionate and shepherding care. And John Vanier said one time, our danger is to see what is broken in a person, what is negative, and not see the person. It's not just a question of believing in God, but in believing in human beings, believing in ourselves and seeing God as seeing people as God sees them. The book of Revelation says, as the voice from the throne, God's dwelling is with the human race. Generosity, John Vanier goes on to say, is something that is good. When we have more wealth, resources, and time, we want to succor those in need, and that's good. But behind generosity is a notion of power. Generosity must flow into an encounter. We must meet people. It's not a question of doing for, but of listening to their stories. I love that phrase, listening to their stories. I remember the film Amistad, and the lawyer on behalf of the black slave who is before seeking his freedom. He says, tell me about you. And the man begins to give him all kinds of facts about where he came from. And the lawyer, can't remember the name of the character, says, no, I don't want to know all the facts. Just tell me your story. We tell our stories in the dreams and the hopes we have, and also in the pains we've had in making the journey thus far in our lives. Such wisdom is the glory of God, as John Vanier has expressed it. The human being fully alive, even in those, especially in those who are intellectually disabled. And it is known by those who work with them in their community that they have received far more than they thought they could ever have given to someone. Doing the far better thing, seeing with hope and vision God's dwelling among the human race, understanding many hardships, as Paul and Barnabas say in the Acts of the Apostles, that through us, God may make all things new. And so the glory of Easter is the defiance of death by our self-sacrificing love for one another, and thus by being known as Jesus' disciples.